Timothy chapter 2, the question this morning that may be on the minds of a lot of Christians and a lot of people is the question, is there hope? Is there any hope for America? Is there any hope for America? I believe that there is hope for our country. I think we have to be able to see the connection between actions and consequences in our nation. We need to be able to see that many of the things that are happening right now in our nation are the result of decades and decades of rejection of God. The rejection of God's word and the removal of God's word pretty much from the public arena. And now we're faced with consequences. There is a direct connection between our actions and the consequences. Amen. We know that that's basic. We know it's true, but America is having to face the reality of the fact that God's promised, if you walk according to my ways, if you obey my word, then I'll bless you. Deuteronomy 28, the first part of that chapter, lists all the wonderful ways that God said, I will bless you if you obey my law, if you follow in my statutes, if you do according to my word, then I'm going to bless you. And it lists all the wonderful ways that God says he will bless the nation. But then the latter part of Deuteronomy 28 are the warnings that are given concerning judgment that will come upon a people, any people in any nation who turns away from God, turns away from the word of the Lord and away from the truth, such as our nation has in the last 50, 60 years, a turning away from the Lord, maybe even longer than that, but in my lifetime, a great change has taken place just in my lifetime. For example, when I was in grade school, we memorized portions of Scripture every month. When I was in grade school, we memorized Scripture. We quoted Scripture. We read the Bible. We had prayer. That was a part of the beginning. That's the way our day started. It wasn't a Christian school. That was a public school. And that was the norm. But that then began to change. And in just a few years, the changes came, and then the nation was affected by those changes. In every public arena where the word of God was honored and the Christian principles was honored, when it was removed, then we begin to see the consequence. And now Deuteronomy 28 lists many of those judgments and those consequences that come upon a people who turn away from the Lord. As a matter of fact, when you read that last part of Deuteronomy 28, it's almost like reading out of the headlines of what's happening in our nation right now. Families divided, violence in the streets, on and on. It is a picture of exactly many of the things that we're facing right now. We know that the blessing of the Lord is promised to a nation who honors God, who serves God. Psalm 33 and 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And so the people of God who are willing to serve the Lord, and I might just say that I think it's really important and it's high time that Christians and the church take a stand, that we stand for what we believe and that we are willing. Someone has said, I've never seen so many fireworks. I've never seen so many tents selling fireworks. I've never heard, it sounded like our house was being bombed last night. I mean, it was loud booms just all around us. And Marcia said, you know, I think probably what's happening here is there's this anti-American thing going on in our country right now. And people are just, they're just going to say, okay, I'm going to buy more fireworks than I've ever bought. I'm going to fly the flag higher, and I'm going to blow everything up and make all of this loud noise. And I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it seems like. And I'll wait for the statistics to come out in a few days, but they'll probably tell us how much more was spent on the 4th of July this year than other years. And it is the response of the country, no doubt, to this anti-American sentiment that seems to be promoted right now. Amen. Amen. Is there hope for America? Well, we know that the hope lies in not politics. It does not lie in government. It lies within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we say that, but how can we really know that the Word of God is clear on our responsibility as the church? I'll read you some verses from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So how can we know that it is important for the church to take our place and to fulfill our responsibility? Well, Paul told young Timothy that the church should be known as a place of prayer, and that we should pray for kings and those that are in authority. So all leaders, whether you like the president or not, we have a biblical mandate to pray for the president. Whether you like the governor or not, we have a Bible mandate to pray for the governor. It doesn't matter what your politics are. It has to do with what we, our God-given responsibility is to pray for them. So the future, why do we pray for leaders? Why do we pray for those that are in authority? Because the future of nations is in the hands of leadership. Leaders set the course. They set the direction of the nation. They set the direction of those who are underneath them, and that they have authority over them. So we pray for them because they hold much power of influence and power in their role of authority over the direction of the nation. So we pray for them because our nation is in the hands of leaders. And that's a little frightening sometimes, isn't it? It really is. But we are to cry out to God for our leaders. But then the Bible also says that our leaders are in the hands of God. Our nation is in the hands of the leaders, but the leaders are in the hands of God, the Bible says. Let me read it to you from Daniel chapter 2 and verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. So God changes seasons. God changes times. God is the sovereign one, even in control of who steps into the role of authority and leadership. So kings and presidents and leaders are in the hands of God. Amen. So the future of our nation is in the hand of the leaders, but the leaders are in the hands of God. Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to have the wisdom to lead and to do the right thing? So that then puts you and I as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ where we are and what our responsibility is in these times. We know that prayer moves the heart of God. Prayer moves the heart and the hand of God. So since the kings are in the hand of God, then we can pray to our God and ask God to work in the hearts and the minds of those that are in leadership in our country. James 4 and 2, you have not because you ask not. So it's just simply implied there that if we will ask, that God will move. If you will ask, God will respond. God will answer. Matthew 7 and 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask? And I'm just giving you a couple of verses here that remind us of our place in the Lord and our place as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to call upon the Lord to ask God to move in behalf of the leadership of our nation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but you're a chosen generation. This is directed to the church, to the people of God. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. And the privilege of the priest was the priest would go in and would intercede in behalf of all of the nation, would offer the sacrifices, would intercede in behalf of the nation. They had access to go in to the very presence of God. And so today, the church is a royal priesthood, that we have the privilege to go right in, to enter right into the presence of God and to ask Him to call upon the Lord, to implore the Lord to work and to move in behalf of His people. So from that perspective, the church is the most important body upon the earth. Amen. I know that, you know, we get a little bit upset because we heard that the church was non-essential. But let me tell you, the church is absolutely essential and necessary because we are a royal priesthood with direct access to God and an invitation to come into the presence of God. And so when we go and pray, kings and presidents are in the hands of the Lord, and the hand of God can be turned by the prayers of the people, by the prayers of the church. God can change circumstances whenever people are willing to pray and to call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, yes, we are essential. We're essential. We are definitely important in these days that we're living in right now. Oh, how important that the church is today. I played to you a few little prayers from past presidents on the little video this morning. We have had leaders and presidents who honored God and actually served God and prayed and worshiped God. And one of those that was the most, probably the most visibly and open about his relationship with the Lord was the father of our country, George Washington, who was a man of prayer. One chaplain by the name of Reverend Henry Muhlenberg relates how that George Washington would ride around among his troops and admonish them every day to fear God, to put away wickedness, and to practice their Christian virtues. That was the general and the founder of our country. It was said of Washington in a sketch written by an American gentleman in London in 1779 that he would regularly attend services in his tent every morning and evening and was very fervent in his prayer. Another general by the name of General Knox was one among many whose testimony of Washington's frequently visiting secluded groves to lay his cause before God in prayer. You probably have seen the picture. I didn't get it sent to our people up here, but the picture that was painted of Washington on his knees in a grove of trees. It's a very famous painting that was painted, but it was actually painted as the result of a man who was a Quaker by the name of Tory Quaker by the name of Isaac Potts, who came upon Washington while he was on his knees in prayer in the woods, and relates that Potts later made the following remarks to his wife: "If there is anyone on earth whom the Lord will listen to, it is George Washington. And I feel a presentiment that under such a commander, there can be no doubt of our eventual establishing of our independence, and that God in his providence has willed it to be so." Many, many who witnessed the fact that Washington was a president who prayed. Not the only one, and it would take a lot of time. I've got a great book back there with all kinds of wonderful information about different leaders and different presidents, different ones that God used who prayed for our country. Thank God for them. But today, the call of God and the responsibility is upon you and me as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our calling. This is our responsibility. And we cannot be the force that God wants us to be in this generation if the church is weak. If we are weak, then we are not going to be able to fulfill the call of God that he has given to us for these last days. Let me tell you, I really do believe that the shutdown, the quarantine, whatever you want to call it, I believe it has affected the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been affected by that because it's the will of God that we regularly meet. It's the command of God. And for us to be put in a position that we cannot, then we have suffered from that as a result. You say, well, you can pray at home and you can worship at home and I can watch the live stream, and I'm glad for all of that. But that is no reason for us to forsake our gathering together. We get weaker when you're not here. The church is less when you don't fulfill your commitment to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is going to have to be strong if we're to be the salt and the influence upon this earth. And God has called us to be an influence. Is there hope for America? There's no hope if the church is careless, if the church is carefree, if people don't bear the responsibility of gathering together and see the value of our coming together and praying together and worshiping together. We become a force for God whenever we are gathered together, accomplishing his holy purpose. And when we forsake that, we are weakened. We are weakened by those who decide, I don't know that I need to be there on Sunday night. I don't know if I have to be there on Wednesday night. I'll do the best I can. I'll be there. I'll just watch it on the live stream. Now, understand, I'm glad for the live stream, but it's not a replacement for those who are physically able to walk in the doors of the building. Amen. Amen. It's for those that physically can't come, are physically sick, hindered by various circumstances. It's re-aired, and so people can look at it in the afternoon or tomorrow, other days, and that's wonderful and fine for it to be available. But the church needs to be together. We need to gather together. We need to be able to pull together, and we become then the force that God has called us all to be. Amen. The people of God. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, that chapter is a chapter that deals with the dedication of Solomon's temple, this glorious temple that was built and then dedicated. Thousands and thousands of animals were sacrificed. The glory of the Lord so filled that place that those who stood to minister were not able to stand. They were overwhelmed by the presence of God in that place. And when that day of dedication was completed, then Solomon is in his bed and he receives a dream, a vision from the Lord concerning the people of God. And in that dream, the Lord speaks to him in 7:13, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 13. He said, "If I shut up the heavens that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or I send a pestilence among my people." He was saying, if calamity comes, if the people of God are faced with pestilence, or no rain, or locusts, or different calamities that come, if that happens, when that happens, then the next verse is the famous verse that we're familiar with. When trouble comes, when calamity falls upon you. And he's telling Solomon this because they just had this glorious dedication. And he was saying to him, for him to declare this to all of the people and to all the nation, that you can gather together and call upon the Lord. And if all kinds of pestilence comes and trouble comes, and circumstances come, and you're feeling the pressure of all those things, then my people, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now that verse has been preached. Many preachers have preached that related to revival, and it's appropriate and fitting that it would be a message of revival. But what this message was, that if the nation gets in trouble, then the people can respond to that trouble by calling upon the name of the Lord. If the nation finds itself in a calamity, then they can gather together. That's why this temple is built. So sacrifices can be offered and worship unto the Lord. But it's also this place where you can gather together. You can congregate and you can cry out to God. Deliver us from this pestilence. Deliver us from this calamity. Deliver us from this dark situation that we're in. Even if it's judgment that is falling upon us, as I've already declared it, that I do believe that the nation is suffering now as a result of the judgments of God because a nation has turned its back upon the Lord. And the only hope is the church seeing the calamity and the trouble and responding as God gave to Solomon in that vision, telling him, in the hour of dark calamity, if the people of God will humble themselves and pray, then I'll hear. Then I'll hear. I'll come. I'll heal their land. I will move for them if they will call upon my name. Amen. You see, one of the elements of this is desperation. That if the people of God find themselves and their whole nation in a desperate circumstance, then they should call upon me. My people should call upon my name. If they find themselves in a crisis, the crisis measures that they have to take is my people calling upon my name. Amen. The need is the key that motivates us to turn to God with our whole heart. And we need to be honest before the Lord and honest with ourselves that we haven't prayed much like we know that we should, that we haven't cried out to God like we should. We're watching it happen. We can see the devastation. It's almost as if you can see our nation crumbling before our eyes. And we talk about it, and, you know, it's a topic of conversation and discussion. We all have our opinions. But God spoke to Solomon in that vision and said, here is the way that the people of God should respond to a crisis. Here's the way we respond. We call upon God. We call upon the Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, that's you and me. That's us. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the call of God that each of us have to pray and to seek the face of the Lord. And I just pray that there will be those that will take it to heart, and that tonight and tomorrow will be a day that you will set aside your normal meals and you'll just give that day to times of prayer, calling upon the Lord with our nation and the condition of our nation on your heart. I have to tell you, folks, this has been a burden on my heart for the last few weeks, but especially this week. It's been really something. I can't get it off my mind. And I knew that I needed to do something. I knew I needed to respond to things that are happening. And most of the time, you just feel so helpless. Things that just seem to be disintegrating around us. But God never intended for us to feel this way. He said, if the crisis comes, here's the way the people of God respond. Here's the way that we respond. We call on God. We cry out to the Lord. And there's never been a national turnaround that did not have a desperate people that was crying out to God. Amen. So is there hope? There is hope. But there's only one single hope for this nation. It's not in a man. It's not in a political party. It's in none of those things. There's only one answer, and that is the people of God, the church crying out to God, crying out to God. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. That's what God's calling us to do. Many, many places in the scripture, humbling yourself and fasting were one and the same. Because it's a very humbling thing. Whenever you begin to fast and call upon the Lord, then you are broken down and you are recognizing your own physical weakness and limitations and how much that the flesh controls our lives, and how that we have to be reminded of the fact of how much we need God. Humble ourselves before God. To humble ourselves is to admit and to confess that we are weak, that our political actions, our political activities, our political parties can't bring a solution. None of them can. And I'm all for patriotism, and I'm all for the support of our nation. It's a wonderful thing, but even patriotism is not the answer to the challenges that we're faced with right now. It's the people of God who are humbling themselves before the mighty hand of God. Humbling themselves and praying. Going to the Lord. And I already gave you the scriptures that relate to the fact that when we pray, that we have access to God because we're a royal priesthood. We can go before God and we have access to Him and to the presence of God. And He welcomes us to come, and we should come to the Lord, and we should go to Him and call upon the name of the Lord. If you'll humble yourself and pray and seek the face of the Lord, His face, His countenance, to pray until you see that you have stepped into an area of that now you are pleasing God. You're doing what He wants you to do. And His countenance is turned toward you and is upon you, is really what it means to seek His face. Turn from your wicked ways. And remember, this is speaking to the people of God, that we are to turn from our wicked ways. All of those things that we have allowed to just kind of creep into our life. Those things that we've allowed to take control of our life. And we become so carnally minded and so worldly minded and so caught up in the world and loving the world. And we love the world so much that we really can't even fit in a prayer meeting. We really can't. We don't even feel comfortable in a prayer meeting because we are so consumed with fleshly and worldly things in our life that to humble yourself and to pray is a huge, huge move away from what you're doing on a daily basis in your life. But the command is to turn. Church, turn from our wicked ways. People of God, turn from your wicked ways. You say, I don't know what those are. You just spend a little time in the presence of God, honestly before the Lord, and the Lord will reveal your wicked ways. He'll show you those things that are in your life that are not pleasing to Him, and He will deal with your wicked ways. When you make those moves toward God with a sincere heart, then He says, God's going to hear. God's going to hear. He's going to forgive the sin, and as a result, He's going to heal the land. Now, there's been a lot of talk about how quickly that everything happened in our nation. The first part of March, we were hearing just a little bit about what was happening. Then all of a sudden, wham, we're shut down. As a nationwide, we are shut down. And immediately, millions of people are unemployed. Companies are closing and the economy is failing, and immediately it lets us know how vulnerable that we really are and how desperately we must have God. And the only healing to the land will come as a result of the people of God, the church. Amen. So for all those leaders who have said church is not essential, the governor of California says, well, you can go to church as long as you can social distance and wear a mask and you cannot sing. You can't sing. And all, at the very same time, by the thousands, they're running up and down the streets screaming and hollering and burning buildings at the same time. It's a wild and crazy world that we're living in. We need to be healed. We need a healing in our land. From the west to the east, all across this nation, we need a sweeping move of God. Do you know that just as quickly as things turned down and got bad so quickly, so a move of God can sweep across this land and can change things just that quickly. God can supernaturally move. If the church will pray, if the people of God will pray, God can change things in this nation and can heal our land. Are you willing? Are you willing to call upon the Lord? Since nations are in the hands of leaders, and since the leaders are in the hands of God, and there's only one thing that will change and will turn the heart and the hands of God, and that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can see how valuable and important the church is. Amen. Let's pray.
Father,
thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to know you. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to pray. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be in a church building. We don't have to be in an altar. But, Lord, you've given us this wonderful privilege. Thank you, Lord. I know, Lord, that you gave Solomon that dream so that the people of God could see that that temple was a place where they could gather and they could unite together in prayer and they could pray against the calamity and the disease and all of the darkness and the trouble that might come to their land. Thank you, Lord, that we know we can run to you and we can even run to the house of God and we can pray together. And there's great power whenever the church prays together.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.